Well, hello and welcome to radio. Yes, I'm actually going to get this done 2 weeks in a row. I know it's a miracle, but it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I've got more time on my hands in a way. I have changed some things about the way that I live. So it gives me more time to do things like this that I actually enjoy doing. My situation has been up in the air a lot as far as employment since the pandemic in 2020 with a lot of people. And one of the things I did to get myself having some income coming back in is I went back on the road as a pub singing cover musician. And I had quite a long career at that. And I went back out there to make some money, get some money in. And I went in March to do St. Patrick's Day in the U.S. I went first part of March, stayed through 18th, 19th of March, played 16 or 17 gigs in like 15 days, busted my rump, and finally decided that I just can't do that anymore. Just can't. I mean, you know, when you get to a point in your life where you realize that you're not enjoying something that used to bring you the greatest amount of joy of anything, and that's what music was for me, but it just became a grind. I think a lot of the musicians that are out there listening will get this. You know, it was one song after another song after another song, and I just wasn't having fun anymore. And I was doing cover songs, and I'd try to work in some of my originals or try to work in stuff by writers that I liked and people that I admire, new people like Jason Isbell or Sturgill Simpson, and just nothing. Nothing. People just wanted the same old thing, and I just got tired. So I've decided to, at the ripe young age of 67 years old, to focus a little bit more on my own music and my own stories and the stuff that I'm doing here. I mean, St. Patrick's Day in the U.S. is weird. Come on, let's admit it. You go to these things with people that are all of a sudden Irish, you know? Everybody's wearing green and drinking green beer and wearing outlandish stuff. I mean, when did it turn into like a Halloween kind of thing? That was my question. People are just dressed in the most outlandish stuff instead of just like a little green shirt or a hat. I mean, people have gone all the way. I saw costumes, you know, and it's just weird, man. People that the closest they've ever gotten to the, you know, to Ireland is like maybe using Irish spring soap or, you know, eating Lucky Charms there. All of a sudden, they're Irish. I remember a couple of years back, I took my buddy Morten Whitrock, a great Danish piano player, with me to play this festival of Irishness that starts. And another thing, when did it turn into a month? When did St. Patrick's Day turn into St. Patrick's week and then St. Patrick's month? It just never stops. I took Morten with me and we did a bunch of gigs together, and he's a great piano player, honky-tonk style and blues and jazz, and just can play anything. And he came with me to do the sets, and so we're there and we're doing the sets, and after the 30th person walked up to him and said, "Well, I'm Irish. You know, I'm Irish. You know, I'm Irish. I'm Irish," with no discernible trace of an Irish accent. Morten, with his very pronounced Danish accent, put a green hat on his head and said, "Well, the hell with it then. I'm Irish too." But it's fun, but I'm over it. So it gives me more time to concentrate on my own music and my own stories. So that means I can get a few more of these things done for you. And so I'm going to. Concentrating on the radio show and the podcast and my own music. And speaking of my own music, I very rarely do this, but I wanted to let people kind of hear what it is that I do when I talk about my own music and my own stories. And I went back and I was recording some of my really, really old material from 70s and 80s. And I found this song. It's kind of about my dad and kind of about my life and kind of about my dad when he passed away. When my dad passed away, I got a little inheritance. I don't remember what it was, not much, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000, don't remember. So I wanted to make music because my dad was a big fan of my music. My whole life, my dad was a big fan of my music. I was very fortunate. I was never one of those kids that had to go, oh, you know, I play music and my dad hates it or my mom hates it. No, they were fans. And my dad would, if I was in town, he would come and see me play. And so I knew that he would want me to make music because he was a fan. I remember one time I was playing at a local club and he came out. It was like a Wednesday or a Thursday. And we were the house band, so we had to be there every night, five nights a week, Wednesday through Sunday, for the princely sum of $200 a week. But that was then. And not that musicians have gotten much of a raise over the year, but, you know, we were making $200 a week, and it was a Wednesday or Thursday, slow night, and there weren't a lot of people there. So I'm not going to lie. I was kind of dogging it. You know, I was just kind of mailing it in, as they say. And Dad was there, and so I got through the first set, and I walked over to him at the bar, and I said, hey, how you doing? He said, well, I'm doing good. He said, I'm going home, though. I'm like, what do you mean? You know, we got a couple more sets. And he said, yeah, but you know, a guy can get a beer pretty much anywhere in this town. And because you're up there singing and playing music, I have to pay 25 cents extra every beer that I buy here. And if that's the best you're going to do, I'm not going to pay that 25 cents. And I learned a lesson that night. I mean, it stuck with me that, you know, I owe it to two people, one person, six people, doesn't matter, 600, 6,000, 60,000. If you're going to be up there, you play for those folks. And you play every show, like maybe it's the last one you're going to get to do. And you give yourself. So I've always tried to stick to that. I've always tried now since then to, when I get up on stage, I put it out there. And anyway, I was going through some of the songs that I recorded on that record that I made when my dad passed away. And I found one, and the recorded version of it wasn't very good. So I just kind of knocked together a version of it at home here. Just wanted you to hear the music and to hear what I'm talking about and to hear the direction I'm heading. I don't usually do my own music on the show, but I thought, what the heck, today I'd put one in. So this is a song called Why Do Trains Run at Midnight? Born the son of a railroad man, never knew the taste of coal. The engines in my daddy's day made their runs on diesel fuel. He spent his life in freight yards, never took one ride. Till a long black train brought his body home the night my daddy died. Why do trains run at midnight? Why do daddies sometimes leave their boys behind? Go away. Why do big trucks carry dreams away down these interstates all night? Hey mama, why do trains run at midnight? Daddy taught me how to drive when I was just 13 years old. And I'm a prisoner of these old back roads, the stories that he told. He pointed out beyond the place where the horizon touched the sky. He said, it's a long road, son, but you can make it if you try. Hey, mama. Trains run at midnight. Why do daddies sometimes leave their boys behind? Go away. Why do big trucks carry dreams away down these interstates all night? Hey, mom, why would trains run at midnight? I've grown up my father's son. You see it in my eyes. And the faraway look that always comes every time a diesel whines. Tonight out on this interstate, on another midnight ride, I swear I see my father's face shining from the shotgun side. Hey, Mom. Why the trains run at midnight? Why the daddies sometimes leave their boys behind? Go away. Big trucks carry dreams away down these interstates all night. What a train. So that's a little bit of what I do when I'm doing my own music. And why do trains run at midnight? You know, it's a story song. It's, you know, the story's in there. If you listen, you can hear a lot of different things in there. And that's the kind of thing that I want to do. I love telling stories. Artists like Nancy Griffith, people like that, they've meant so much to me over the years. People that tell stories when they sing and bring a song that has more to do with it than he cheated on me, I cheated on him, I love you, you love me, that's why we love each other. You know, that kind of stuff is great. Everybody needs those songs once in a while. But for me, it was kind of like I wanted to write about people that I knew and my life, and not just that part of it, but the characters that I grew up with and the people that I grew up with and the people that I knew. And it's hard because, you know, you're dishing around in people's business sometimes. So that's maybe not the best thing you can do sometimes. But, and sometimes, you know, people go, hey, I recognize myself in that story or that song. And that can be a mixed blessing. You know, it can be a positive thing or a negative thing, but it has to be emotionally honest. I'm not a journalist. I'm not, you know, documenting everything that happens in my life word for word, hour for hour, day for day, but the emotional honesty has to be there. That's when music is the best for me, when it's Tom T. Hall or young guys like Jason Isbell or Chris Stapleton, although he does that white boy blues screaming thing too much for my taste, but I mean, he's a great writer. So, you know, there are writers out there that are doing that kind of thing, but so much of the country music world and the music world has become like the other stuff I talked to you about. It's just so the same. It's the same. It's produced the same. It sounds the same. It's compressed the same. It has to fit in on the radio. And like when you go to a strip mall or your neighborhood and the council there in your neighborhood, the neighborhood counselor says, well, this is how you can paint your house. It can be these colors. It can be that color. Can't be that color. Can't have that flag in the yard. Can't have that flag in the yard. Can't have this fence. Can't do that. I mean, no personnel, no individuality, nothing. Everything has to match. Everything has to be the same. That's the world that people want to create on the radio, on the television, in your neighborhood. So, I don't know. Doesn't suit me. I like stories. I like stories that are warts and all. I like murder ballads. I like ballads that tell stories that, you know, maybe aren't upbeat positive, because sometimes the world is downbeat negative and you want to hear those stories. I don't know why, but in a weird way, when you hear those, somehow you feel better. There has to be a reason why everybody that I talk to is involved and loves crime fiction and true crime and those true crime podcasts that are next to this one, they're beating the hell out of this podcast, I can tell you. Everybody's listening to those. And I actually had the idea that I was going to do a podcast that featured a true crime story, and then I'd write a song about it and include the story and the song and make that part of a podcast. I'm not sure that I'm not going to do that yet. First of all, because I love writing in that kind of dark genre. And then I think it would be kind of cool. You know, I think it'd be kind of cool. And you could look at it, you could go, wow, that's dark, but interesting. You know, while I'm at it, while I'm thinking about it, let me see if I can find another one of my songs that actually fits into that. Hold on. Let me see if I can find it.
I was born with an empty soul. I was born with an empty soul. Well, I was born with an empty soul. You touch my heart, I'll stop yours cold. I was born with an empty soul. This life ain't no friend of mine. This life ain't no friend of mine. This life ain't no friend of mine. Look into my eyes, I'll strike you blind. This life ain't no friend of mine. Understand the killing man. Well, I understand the killing man. Well, I understand the killing man. In the shadows with his knife in his hand, I understand the killing man. Well, I've forgotten how to pray. Never did no damn good anyway. I've forgotten how to pray. Now I was born with an empty soul. I was born with an empty soul. I was born with an empty soul. You touch my heart, I'll stop yours cold. I was born with an empty soul.
Happy-go-lucky party piece for you. I was born with an empty soul. But, I mean, that's an eerie song, and it was an eerie experience for me when I made it up, when I wrote it, because I was actually working the overnights at a radio station, and I don't remember which serial killer it was, but I was sitting there doing the overnights, and the machine started pumping out the reports that, and this is when there were still paper coming out of those AP machines and UPI machines. And it was coming out that somebody's backyard was being dug up and was filled with bodies. And it was like, man, sitting there by myself in a radio station all alone. And this started to come out. And I was like, wow, this is a little overwhelming. What kind of person does this? What kind of person? Who is this person? They must have an empty soul. And then I wrote on some kind of piece of paper, maybe the back of those Associated Press news releases, the lyrics to that song. And then when I was making that record, I wanted it to be very stark, very two-chord bluesy kind of thing. And there it is, a great violinist on there, Val Vigoda. Val wound up doing a lot of cool stuff, video games, being on Broadway. And there she was playing on my little song. But I was really thinking, like I said, about doing a podcast where I tell a story about something like what I was just talking about, and then all of a sudden I make up a song about it. And we'll see how it goes. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. But I, you know, the point is I'm going to be around doing these things. And if you like the music, let me know. If you really like hearing the songs on the podcast, let me know. I'll do more. I'll do other people's songs too. because I just want to get interesting and good and not formulaic and not plastic and not crappy music out there. Whether I write it or somebody else writes it makes no difference to me. Well, Easter's coming up for those of you that celebrate that sort of thing. I'm in Denmark. Easter is weird here. It's different than it used to be. When I first got here, I mean, Easter was a week like it used to be in the States when I was a kid. I mean, you started like in the first part of the Easter week, you took off and then you had the week off, and certainly the Thursday and the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and the Monday. And when I first got here, and when I say time off, I mean, everything was closed. Nothing was open. And so it was kind of unique for me to do my typical, you know, Easter shopping. I couldn't do it on Friday like I was used to doing. Couldn't run out and grab this and grab that. And it's a little bit of a different experience here. So Easter's coming up. And of course, as with everything in Denmark, there's a lot of drinking going on. So people, you know, celebrate the, you know, maybe one of the most important days on the Christian calendar with drinking copious amounts of beer and projectile vomiting and, you know, and celebrating. And then everybody goes to church, huge, ornate, beautiful churches in this country that are usually empty, but certainly filled on the holidays. But Easter's coming. You celebrate that. Have a good one. If you're celebrating Passover, anything else that's going on right now, you know, if you're celebrating any holiday, because I'm an equal opportunity person, I hope you're enjoying that, and I hope you're enjoying your family. I'm enjoying mine. That's another reason why I've decided to cut back on some of this running around the world and doing music everywhere. I want to get out and do my own music. I want to do my own shows. If I get a chance to do one wherever you're hearing this, I will let you know. I'm going to be more concentrating on that kind of stuff. And if the shows are coming up and they're going to be near you, then I'll let you know. But I'm home now with my dog, my Australian Shepherd, the great Max. Max, the dog that barks at everything, including molecules, because I think he can see them. And him with him, home with my wife, Lotta, my Danish wife, in my little odd-looking American-style carport house from the 1950s, tucked down in my little Danish village, which looks exactly like you would picture a Danish village to look like, with houses with thatched roofs and a little church across the street. I live on Kirkeplassen, which is Church Place, and I always tell the priest I can't get to church. It's too far away. Good 50 meters from here. So, but anyway, so, you know, I'm here and tucked in my little village, and I'm going to be around this microphone and this computer and all of the things that you use to make podcast and music a lot more. And I'll be sharing it with you. And I hope you enjoy it, because I enjoy doing it for you. I'm Ray Weaver. This is a rather unusual, strange version of radio. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget, listen, tell your friends about it. And if you feel so inclined, go somewhere, wherever you hear it, and give me a 5-star review. Go to Amazon and get my Father's Heart book, which has more music and more stories, and you can get a handle on what's going on here and get in touch. Love hearing from you. We'll see you next week. I'm Ray Weaver, and this is